Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
Well, this morning we come to talk about partnership with God, not so much for His benefit. He did everything that He did for our benefit. We know that when we come into the family of God, we come in by adoption. Jesus paved the way for us to be reunited with the Heavenly Father. God never designed us to live apart from Him. So He has reinstituted, brought back into our life, a way for us to get the blessing of God in a fallen world. I keep talking about fallen world because most of the world will come against your walking in blessing. Try to take it away one way or another, or try to prevent you from walking in the blessing of God. But God is for you. And He says, if He's for you, who can be against you? But sometimes we need to know a little bit more about that. There's a way He can work with us. Did you know God needs to work through people? He's not a free agent roaming around in the earth just blessing everybody. He has to look for who can He bless. That's scriptural. He looks for who He can bless, watching with His eye for who is calling on His name. Faith in the name of Jesus causes the blessing of God to come. And that's the nature of partnership. It starts with simple salvation, saying, Jesus, You did all of this for me, and You've made a way for me to go to heaven. He's made the way. But He's not only done that, He's given us an ability to walk in a restored blessing while we're in the earth. And Pastor likes to talk about that. Because if you're going to make a commitment to come to church, you need to know you're in an interactive relationship with God. We don't teach it one-sided here, that just here's this nebulous God up there and we're supposed to all kind of bow our head and not understand things. We know He wants us to understand. Scripture says that God's people are only destroyed because they have a lack of knowledge. That means the more knowledge of God we have, the less the enemy can come against us. Now, I believe that that's true, so we focus on teaching some things. Today we've got a little limited time because we've had a lot of blessing and loving time. Loving time is fun. Now, today gives you something. If you didn't have kids dedicated or a family moment, you're still going to have something to carry away about partnership. Partnership is how God does everything He's going to do. He looks for people to work through. He can't work through us unless we ask Him to. He gave us a free will. We can submit our will to Him, we can do our own thing, or we can even go a rung lower and serve the kingdom of darkness. I believe you're here today because some part of you, if not all of you, says, I want to partner with God, but I need to know more about that. Now, we're reminiscent of something Jesus said to His disciples in Matthew chapter 4, and it's recorded in other Gospels. Jesus, when He was picking out disciples, He picked out people who had no real knowledge of Him in their everyday life, doing their normal thing that they would do. And He found a group of fishermen, and He said, if you'll follow Me, I will make you fishers of men. Now, Jesus was offering a partnership to them. I don't think they knew it at the time. I don't think they exactly understood what they were getting into. But they somehow felt compelled to follow Him. I think they recognized authority on Him. I think that they thought, men will be more valuable than fish any day. I'm sure they wondered, what in the world is He really talking about, fishing for men? But for our purposes today, He was offering them a partnership. It's the partnership that He offers every believer. But I look at when Jesus put this in motion. While Jesus was alive in the earth, before He rose from the dead, they went everywhere with Him. They were learning how to be fishers of men, but after Jesus rose from the dead, they became that. When you experience the resurrection power of God, partnership takes on a new meaning. It's not just about what He has done for you, but it becomes about what you can do for Him because He's working through you. That's where the blessing of God really takes over. When we let God do something with us, Did you know he can only do good, so he's only going to take you in a good direction? Well, we want to rejoin these same disciples minus one and plus one. They had a falling out and a recruiting going on here, but they're 12 again. And Jesus was appearing to them after he rose from the dead for the third time. Third time in the Bible is kind of a seal of God's approval. It means something is done now. So Jesus came to finish something that he started. And what he came to the disciples to finish was to make them these fishers of men, to make them true partners. Up until then, they wanted to believe that they were. But remember what they had just gone through. They had seen Jesus, their master, who they devoted 3.5 years of life to, and they changed everything for. They gave up their business for him and followed him. They had seen him crucified. They had seen him torn asunder before he was crucified. They had seen him raised from the dead, but they had a problem believing it, like we talked about last week. And then they had to see him, and Thomas had to reach there into Jesus' body to see, yeah, sure, it is him. It's really him. And they were just kind of healing from denial and despair. And Jesus was appearing to them again because they didn't really know what to do with themselves. They understood he came to somehow teach them, and I'm sure they were talking about Jesus making them fishers of men because they were on the seashore and they were going back to their boats. They were thinking, okay, what do we do now? God loves it when we ask that question. I think he loves it maybe even more when we're kind of down. These disciples had lost the reason for living in so many ways. Jesus said, where I'm going, you don't get to go right now. They were disappointed. For the first time, it seemed like Jesus cut them off, but now he's coming back to bring them in closer than ever before. And he's offering them a partnership. He's saying, if you want to do what I called you to do, I can continue to bless you. Now, for these men, it was the beginning, really, of a faith life like we have to live. They were not going to have Jesus in the flesh anymore. They were going to have to understand he was always with them and not going to forsake them. They had to take on the challenge of doing ministry, loving people, healing people, seeing people set free, being a blessing to everybody without their master right there at their side. And he told them that they were going to receive another helper, and we're going to talk about that in weeks to come, the person of the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm not going to leave you without help. I'm going to give you a helper. But he was saying, basically, guys, come close. This is what it's really all about. He was teaching us not just how to win souls and how to influence people for the kingdom, but how everything that we would receive from the Lord would come because we're in partnership with him. Did you know there's different kinds of partnership? God doesn't withhold any good thing from anybody that walks uprightly. Walking uprightly means Jesus is Savior and you know you need him and he wants to use your life somehow. That's walking uprightly. It doesn't mean that you're perfect. It means you're surrendered. I'm glad of that. I know I'll never be perfect in this life, but I am very surrendered. And that's what he asks for. And that's what he's looking for from you. But if you are surrendered to him in that way, he says, I'm offering a partnership. Now, you'll leave here today at different levels of partnership. Some of you might say, sounds good, but I'm not ready to buy in. I'll take the paperwork home and look at it. Okay, you can do that. Some of you are going to say, I'm already all in. Pastor, tell me what's going to happen next. Because you just want to hear what more is there to come. And then there's everybody all in the middle. But did you know he didn't leave anybody out? He offers this to anybody. And it's not because he needs work to be done. Jesus already took care of all the work from heaven's standpoint. He wants us to benefit from what Jesus has done. So Jesus was calling the disciples together to teach them principles of partnership. Now, we're going to go to John 21. 2 weeks ago, we were in John 19. Last week, we were in John 20. This week, we're in John 21. Seems like we're following a timetable, because we are. Certain things we're meant to see in a sequence because we get a greater understanding. I don't know about you, but when I learned the ABCs, B came after A. And I remember it that way. And if you ask me still today to sing the song that I learned pre-kindergarten, because Grandma made sure we knew that at like 4. So when we would get there, the teacher would say how smart we were before we ever started in school. But there was a little song we would sing that was the ABCs. And every so often we'd be singing it and Dad would try to be cute and he'd interject another letter before it came and we'd have to stop everything and say, no, it doesn't go that way. It goes this way. Isn't it amazing that even as little children, we learn in a sequence? Now, your relationship with God will work like that if you'll allow Him to. Where He'll build, Scripture says, line upon line, truth upon truth, here a little and there a little. In other words, you can't get it all at once. So Jesus is bringing the disciples back together to teach them these principles of partnership. John 21, Simon Peter said to the disciples, I'm going fishing. Doesn't sound like he's super spiritual at the moment. He's back in everyday life. Isn't that what happens when we drive away from church? We got everyday responsibilities. There's no condemnation for that. That's where God meets us. That's where Jesus does partnership. Notice when they were walking with him every day, he didn't necessarily call them partners. He called them friends. He called them disciples. Why? They were learning a discipline. After they learned some discipline for a few years, then he's offering them a partnership. Sounds like Jesus knows who's going to buy into the franchise called the church, doesn't it? I think he knows. He said, I go a-fishing, and the other disciples said, we're all going to go with you. So they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. God loves to meet us in that place. He knows that our best effort may yield nothing. Did you know that when he wants partnership with you, he doesn't expect you to already be producing what he wants? Jesus knew they were going to be fishers of men. They had been fishermen. But when they went out, right before Jesus came to them, they just had a big letdown. They were disappointed. What they used to do for a living didn't look like it was going to pan out for the future. That's a setup from God. When something that used to work for you doesn't work anymore, he's there to offer a helping hand. He always does that through partnership. So I want you to know, in the first place today, he's not looking for you to have your act together first. He would rather catch you when you don't. Why? We become more dependent on him. We're maybe even more faith-filled when we know we've not got it all together. That's where God likes to come in. He likes us to know that he's a partner with us even when we fail, even if we think we might continue failure. Well, you can say amen right there. Maybe you've never failed before, but they were all on the scene and they all, none of them, not one fish says nothing. That's pretty pitiful. When I read that, I think, well, some of my efforts have been better than that. Not all of them, but some of them. Now, Jesus here is introducing principles because Jesus is on the scene, but they don't know it yet. Jesus is on the shore that they're going to go to next. Jesus is where they're going to land the boats in disappointment. Jesus is where they're going to get off the boat and say, what do we do now? And Jesus is ready to answer the question of what they're going to do now. Whenever you wonder, what am I going to do now? God's there saying, I'm offering you a partnership if you'll have a little bit of faith. Now, but when the morning was now come, in verse 4, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any meat or any fish? And they said, no. What's wrong with Jesus? He knew they didn't have any fish on the boat. Why would Jesus ask somebody to give him something that they didn't have? Does that seem mean? It's a setup for faith to work. Did you know when you hear the word, you don't always think, I can do that. I've got that. Usually you're going to think, I don't know if I can do that. I've never heard of that before. Jesus loves to ask for something you don't have yet. Then he likes to offer some advice on how to get it. And then he tests us, the word of God will test us to see if we're going to do it. And the devil will try to stop us from doing it when all Jesus is looking for is a little bit of faith at work to follow an instruction. So will God set you up? You betcha. Does he set you up to fail? He's not in the failure. He's in the obedience so he can bless. Why? He's wanting to teach us the pattern of partnership. When we do our part, God always does his part, and it always ends in blessing. I like something that's predictable for my good. I tend to do those things again and again and again because there's a payoff. Did you know there's a payoff to partnership with God? It's not all for us, because while he's blessing us with the fish, he's growing the kingdom at the same time. And that's true partnership. What God does for you is connected to what he's doing for the kingdom. And when you're living your life, you say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to craft my life around your kingdom as much as I can, instead of crafting church and your kingdom around my life. And the more we do it that way, the more it is a picture of Jesus being our Lord and not just our Savior. Now, Jesus asked for something we may not have. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. And they cast therefore. Now, remember, they still don't know it's Jesus. I think the smartest ones might have been suspicious, because Jesus went fishing with them before. And this is kind of like what he had done before. So he's triggering their memory. Fellas, do you remember how to recognize the hand of God? I'm going to give you an instruction. Now, they were quick to follow the instruction. Why? They recognized some authority there. And what'd they have to lose anyway? I want to say to you today, if you've never been in partnership with God, what do you have to lose? To try. Did you know the scripture says, try me now? God's words, try him in some things. So, and they were not able to draw the net out for the multitude of fishes. Now, they had to do something. Many times people come to church and get inspired. Think, well, that was a good message. That's not worth much. I mean, inspiration is worth something. Gets your attention at least, but God doesn't bless because he has our attention. He blesses because we operate in faith. Faith is not just an understanding. It's an action. It's having enough trust in the instruction to act on it. Faith will involve a work of obedience. Sometimes it'll cost you something. It might have cost these men potentially a greater embarrassment. For drawing up another empty net. It cost them a little bit of hunger, because as soon as they got to the shore, they were going to eat. They were starving. They'd been out all night. They'd already had a long shift at work, 12 hours on the water with nothing. I'm sure they were aggravated. I'm sure it was not in their heart to do anything more for the day. I'm sure that they had been at it toward one another. Well, you dummy, you should have thrown the net over there. You should have pulled it this way. We should have taken the boat over where I told you not to fish here. There's never any fish. I mean, they were, just imagine why. They were tense because they were apart from their master. And they were used to having a master that made all things work together for their good. And they suddenly were not connected to him. And he was coming back to them to offer a partnership that would never depend on him being there in the flesh again. That's a picture of the Jesus we serve. What he did for them, he'll do for you. Now, Jesus required an action. A lot of times people hear something like that and get inspired and say, well, if he's God, he can make the fish jump onto my boat. I don't even need a net. Did you know he requires some action of faith, and he likes to use something that we have already. Sometimes it's an idea. Sometimes it's a piece of equipment. Sometimes it's a relationship that we have that God's going to move through to provide some kind of thing for us. But he required them to do something that they could have just as easily. In fact, it would have been easier to say, I don't think so. Who's that guy on the shore yelling at us to try this again? Now, therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Finally. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him because he was naked and cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land. See, some of them weren't exactly out there trying very hard to fish. They were going through the motions. Did you know that there's always a group trying, and then there's some going through the motions? But you know what? Jesus includes everybody. So whether you think you're really with it spiritually or not, you're included. I love that he offers equal partnership even to the dud. Wow, there's times I have felt kind of like I might be duddy to the Lord. I don't know if anybody else ever felt that, but I don't feel like I'm the most gifted, wonderful person he had to pick from. But you know what? He picked me anyway. There's comfort in that. Now, the other disciples came in a little ship. They were not far from the land, dragging the net with fishes. What did Jesus do? He gave them increase. You'll always know you've been in partnership with God because He will increase the good in your life. It will require faith. It will come at an inconvenient time, much of the time, because we're in a world that's no longer convenient to do everything God wants. Why? There's opposition in this world. So when you say, "Man, God, you could make it easier," the more you obey Him, the easier it will be to obey Him the next time when it's not convenient, when you are tired, when you've had a tiff and fight with somebody. I shouldn't say tiff, should I, Tiffany? I looked over there and thought I shouldn't use that word because that's her name. Tiff is a little fight, if you didn't know, a little spat. And my guess is they probably were a little more than a little spat, because they had been removed from the master for a while, and they had gone kind of back to a little bit more carnal, kind of like what happens to a lot of people Friday at work after you've had your last nerve stepped on and you're the furthest away from a church service in the week, and you just might have a word for somebody that isn't from the Lord. I expect, they'd been fishermen. They had colorful language, you can bet on it. And they were a little bit removed from the purpose of God. But you know, that didn't stop Jesus. It made Him all the more determined. When we think we're really removed from Him, He's right there. Now, Jesus gave the increase because they followed His instruction. What I say can't happen automatically for you. You have to find out His instruction. The Bible teaches us much instruction, and that's why we teach from the Bible here. But also, sometimes He'll just move on your heart. I used to call it gut instinct. Just certain things I felt like I was supposed to do or knew I should do. That'd be a good thing to do. It might please the Lord. Did you know that's the Holy Spirit? If it's about you doing something good for somebody, it's going to bring increase to you by blessing somebody. And what we think, what we give ourselves credit for, is really God living in us, trying to help us do the right thing. I saw as I started to learn the scripture as a young man that through my childhood I had done some right things, thinking it was my gut and it was the Spirit of God. It was the Holy Spirit setting me up for blessing even in my ignorance. I want to tell you, most people find themselves in that place where they've done something for the Lord that moved them into partnership. And then they found out later, God did that. God blessed me back because I obeyed Him here. Today, if that's happened to you and you didn't know why, you're going to leave here knowing why, and you can do it again. Now, Luke 6:38 is a picture of what just happened here. He said, "Pressed down, shaken together, and running over is how God does blessing in our life." Now, not everything in our life is going to be about the blessing. We're not going to constantly see blessing in everything. Where does the blessing come? When we have obeyed God by faith. So what am I offering this morning? I'm offering to you to decide whether you want to believe what the scripture says or not, and what Jesus did with the disciples, because if we choose to be His disciple, it means we're taking on a new discipline or a new system. He's saying this is how the blessing of God comes. It comes by way of the kingdom of God. In other words, the way things work in heaven, He says if we do it here, we'll get the results here as well. Now, as soon as they were come to the land, in verse 9, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Now, Jesus already had cooked them fish. He didn't need their fish. See, people get aggravated. People outside the church get aggravated when a preacher says, God doesn't need your money. But it's true. Jesus here didn't need their fish, did he? He already had it there. Now, interesting, he asked for fish from them before they caught any, and he didn't need any. Oh boy, is that a picture of what God does in our life? He'll ask for something from us that he never needs, but we honor him in providing it like they're going to do here. But Jesus already has our supply in hand. But in honoring him, he blesses us. Now, Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. Why? Jesus is asking for something back from the increase. I've heard people say things before like, I tried that. I tried obeying God. I tried living for God. Well, there is an interaction in a relationship. There's an interaction in a covenant. Until you interact with the master, you're really experiencing hearsay. But when you give unto the kingdom, you give yourself over to the Lord Jesus and he blesses you back and you know he just did that in my life, you want to give something back. It's kind of like the little kid helping mom bake cookies. Anybody that comes in, the little kid wants to give a cookie and get some credit for it, even if all they did is watch the oven window and tell mom when they look done and eat some. You know, God wants us to understand his nature and how there is a constant flow of giving and receiving. And Jesus said, it's better to be the giver than the receiver. Why would Jesus say that? Because it replenishes honor toward the Heavenly Father, and he knows the cycle will be unbroken. Blessing comes of relationship because we enter into a covenant that has a cycle of activity to it, saying we're not going to break fellowship with the master. Now, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of fishes. Why, the boat was too heavy to, they couldn't lift the fish out of the water for the little boat. 153, for all there were so many, yet was the net not broken. Now that is an interesting number. 153 per science is how many different genus of fishes there are. Interesting that God would see to it that one of every kind probably is what was in the net or representative of that. That means anybody and everybody can enter into covenant. That means anybody and everybody will be drawn into the kingdom. They're being demonstrated to them how they're going to be fishers of men of all kinds. Did you know God wants to meet everybody? He wants to welcome everybody in. Those fish didn't have a choice but to swim into the net because it was God's plan. Don't be too concerned about how you're going to witness to your friends. God's designed them to swim into the net. You just need to ask Jesus where to cast it. How to love people, how to treat people right, how to do what he has done for you, how to demonstrate his love. That number also in Scripture means salvation is of the Lord. Interesting that he's teaching them how to be fishers of men, all kinds of people, and it also means salvation is of the Lord. Did you know your greatest partnership with the Lord is to win others into the kingdom? He said, if we'll craft our life around that, he'll bring blessing into our life. Now, I'm sure that those men didn't know the significance of 153 fish. God did that so we would recognize significance in our life. Now, Jesus then came, and he took bread, and he gave them, and fish likewise. And he says, this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. As I close our thought for the day, I want you to understand, God is out to partner with you. He will get a benefit if it's a true partnership. He'll get the benefit of bringing men into the kingdom, bringing people into the kingdom. I say repeatedly here, we do teach a prosperity message of a type here. But it's this, we're in covenant with the master. As we're in covenant with him, he teaches us what he taught the disciples there. How to be fishers of men. how to throw the net the way Jesus says to and bring people into the kingdom, and then he meets our needs and blesses us. Do I not say that to you all the time? We minister to the Lord first, and he meets our need. Faith, your faith in action, when you throw an empty net, is faith in the name of Jesus. Not just throwing an empty net to bring people into the kingdom, but maybe you're throwing an empty net by faith for your future and provision to come in. God said if you go after people, he'll watch after you. That's a law of partnership. So as we close, Jesus asks you for something, and it's usually something you don't have. Jesus will require an act of faith on your part. See, this is how I get blessed. Jesus then gives us increase because we followed his instruction. That instruction's important. It'll not be convenient. It may not make sense. It might even be a little aggravating. Jesus asks for something back from the increase. Why? That baits the net for the next go around. There's an anointing on what God does. And you see, when you give a little bit back to him, it greases the wheel for the next revolution. It sets things up for the next time around. Jesus then teaches us how to be fishers of men, and he meets us there and replenishes our need and feeds us. As Jesus closed this story out, he said to the disciples, "Do you love me?" Well, what a question. You ever been asked that by somebody? How you answer is pretty critical to what is going to happen next, isn't it? And Jesus kept asking, "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." He said, "Then feed my lambs." Then Jesus would ask again, that wasn't enough. And they said, "Yes, Lord, then feed my sheep." Jesus is saying another area of partnership is we lay down our life for one another. We learn to bring good to the body of Christ. Today we celebrate families, we celebrate children. Jesus pointed out there are lambs and there are sheep in the fold. We feed everybody, it's part of partnership. We don't just feed what man thinks. There's not a lot of nutrition in knowing what people think. There's spiritual nutrition in what God says. That changes everything. Now this summer, as I close, and I'm going to pray a blessing over your family before we go have natural food. We know in that picture, Jesus is showing also a marriage of natural life and spiritual life in the fish and in the bread. He's saying you can do this at the same time. He's saying, not only are you going to bring fish into the kingdom, I'm going to be your bread of life. I want you to understand that he's got this in mind with you. This constant conversation through action and activity we call faith. And when we do that, we get on a roll with God. And the enemy can't get in there. Think of it this way. If your car gets going fast enough, any bird that gets in the way, it ain't going to feel good after it encounters your car. Say, "Well, what a bad example." Well, I know, but it's what I could think of quick. Because, you know, there's just some things you don't jump in the way of. And the devil was the bird in that picture, if you didn't know. He's not going to jump in if you've got enough going on. He's going to recognize he's going to get hurt trying to interfere with what God is doing. This morning, I want to mention our first outreach coming up, June 24th. It's a fishing derby. Say, why would you talk about a fishing derby? Why not? It fits perfectly right now. Why are we doing that? Creating a way for you to bring friends. What is it really? It's a kind of a big net. We're creating a big net and inviting fish to come swim in. Why? You encounter the blessing of God and it doesn't hurt a bit. Only for the good. And, you know, you can convince most people to do something fun. They don't know church can be fun or enlightening or interesting or anything else. So if you show them the people who go to church have fun, they might believe the people in church can have fun. Isn't that the truth? That is the truth. Well, anyway, stand to your feet, if you will. We're going to have that. What are we going to do? We're going to have all kinds of fishing contests and food and a happy time. And it'll be on a Saturday unless a thunderstorm comes. And then we'll have it the next day, June 25th, on a Sunday after we eat our food here. We'll go out there 5 minutes from the church. And I bet you catch one of the big ones right away. But the biggest fish out there are the big catfish, okay? If you want to catch the biggest one, that's a hint. And there's a lot of 5-pound, 6-pound bass out there, I understand, too. Why are you saying that? Fishermen get excited about talking about that. And Jesus just baited us a little bit being fishers of men. What could be a better setup than that? See, I said a little while ago that your giving encourages the vision. Your participation makes things happen. God blesses you. He wants an interaction with you. This morning is about God's blessing and partnership with families. his partnership here with one another. Look around you. There's good people around you. I don't know anybody that's perfect, but they're good. And that's all God expects, for us to be like Jesus as much as we can. You say, well, Pastor, there's somebody perfect, surely. No, Scripture says there's not even one good. No, not one. So I won't go too far with that. Well, this morning, on that note, we need the blessing of God, don't we? I want you to receive this. You receive by faith. There's an action of faith to this. And the action of faith whenever Pastor gives a Sunday morning blessing is to have a resounding amen at the end of the blessing. And that by that you are saying, that's for me. I receive it in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, thank you for your people. Father, thank you for a loving, giving, caring, wonderful congregation that you've raised up. Father, our role in this place is to bring a refreshing to the area round about and bring all men into the kingdom of God, all women and children into the kingdom of God. Father, to invite everybody to be a part of the goodness of God. Heavenly Father, this morning we accept your charge of partnership. We're thinking about that a new way this morning. Lord Jesus, we know you're going to visit our hearts with some act of faith, something we need to do that blesses you. Father, it'll be for somebody nearby, somebody we know, somebody in need, somebody that needs a touch of the love of God. Father, you've made us part of your family, and our common genetic bond is that of love, the love of the Heavenly Father. So you're going to help us rise up as a mighty, loving army to be your love in the earth. And it'll bring hope to the hurting. It'll be help to the helpless. It'll be food to the hungry. Father, thank you for teaching us your ways. And it's an honor and a privilege and a blessing to be a part of your family and a partner with you. Father, we thank you for all good things. And Father, I ask your hand of supernatural blessing, your impartation hand, your hand that brings about all good to be upon every person here, every name to be named in this congregation, in Jesus' name we receive it and say amen.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of his love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois 60962, or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.